We think that this is episode 151.
The Ultimate Deck Podcast. Need a show about outdoor living? This is where it's at with your hosts, Shane Chapman and Wade LaBrette. Thank you for tuning in. Now let the show begin. Yeah. The Ultimate Deck Podcast. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ultimate Deck Podcast with Shane and Bryce.
Woo, 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 woo.
Wade's on his way to Regina. We should have delayed this a little bit. He could have actually been on one again.
Is he?
Yeah, like 3 hours away.
Oh, so he's not on his way. Well, he's driving 3 hours away.
He's like, he's in his truck and he's moving at this point. So he's like,
he's going to come close. He's going to come here. Oh, look, he showed up.
Voyeurism.
What? Wait. Oh,
now you know.
You tricked me. I thought I looked at the Instagram. I was like, he did? He's driving. Why is he watching that? How you been, Bryce?
I've been good since last week.
What happened since last week?
Work. Nothing.
Work, work.
I don't know. Your dance thing is like 2 days away.
I wonder if we should give these people a sneak peek. Like they're not going to be at the thing.
No. How are you going to give them a sneak peek? Are you going to like jump up on the desk?
No, of the do.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's only seven people in here right now. I feel like this might be wasted if we do it now, but.
Wasted.
I got a haircut today.
Yeah.
In preparation for my performance, because this thing is in 2 days. So, by the way, everybody, by the time when this episode gets posted, that's the day of the event.
So
that's
today, the same day. If you're listening today.
Later today, I'm going to go swing with the stars. I'm the star. I'm going to swing with the dancer.
Yeah, I think the dancers are more stars than the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. So which one are you? I'm neither. She's both. So if you haven't voted yet, and by voting, I mean donate to this event in support of Hope's Home, please do go to voteswts.com, choose Shane and Nikki, vote
with your dollars,
vote $20 or vote 7,000. That's how far we are behind the leader.
Oh, wow.
At this point. We were leading for so long and then somebody got a big whale of a donation and now we're behind.
I bet you it was you that sparked it though. You took off to a heavy lead.
We maybe got out of the gate a little too fast and people were like, oh boy, okay. We
better stop that from getting too far ahead.
Right? Some of them kind of like dangled their whale donations, just kind of like kept them in their pocket for a bit. Yeah. And we're like, okay, just before the event, we'll crush his soul.
We want to win.
This is like icing the kicker in football. It's
exactly.
Like right before they're like, how about we smash his donation level?
Exactly.
Just before and like throw him off his game.
But it's going to be no different than the time that Michael Jordan got sick. Holy. Because they poisoned him. At the what game was that? I think it was a playoff game.
Oh yeah, that was in
it was in Last Dance.
Last Dance. They talked about how they think that
the hotel was poisoned.
Like, crazy.
And did they ever say like
who they
the
thought
flu?
Did that?
They did. I can't remember. It was the other team. I think it was the Pistons.
That's wild. Dennis G82 says, can you get an ultimate hat, please? I don't know who you are, where you are, or how we get that to you, or any of your background or details. So no, for now.
For now.
I don't know, maybe. Or do you go to Deck Expo? Does anybody go to Deck Expo? Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Anyway, I just went out to a project in Missouri that the contractor said you guys helped him. That's coming from USMC. I wonder who the contractor is. Helped him in what capacity? I wonder that too. Anyway, so here you go. This little sneak peek for the people on the Instagram machine.
Oh, yeah, you're going to show this. Show the dude.
If you've, let's see if anybody recognizes the haircut. What movie is this from and who wore it?
We'll send you a hat.
How do I do this?
Just turn around. There you go. Yeah, it's on there. You look good.
This. What's going on here? Does anybody...
What is it?
...from the Instagram recognize that haircut? Hey, we'll find out.
What is it?
Anyways, while they're mulling over what they think that haircut's from, how about you get to it?
Welcome to the Moment of Uselessness with Bryce Lanyuk and Shane Chapman.
It's not like you're reading that out of your like personal home library in a chair with your legs crossed and a house coat on.
Yeah. I have a red velvet
smoking
house coat.
Oh boy.
So today we're going to talk about the five most useless ideas that made millions of dollars.
Oh, good.
You ready?
Yeah.
First one, pet rock.
How did that make millions? I thought that was just something you did at home with a rock.
No. No, in 1975, after listening to friends complaining about their pets, he decided to develop the product. His name is Gary Dahl. the Pet Rock. And within 6 months, he had sold over 5 million Pet Rocks.
Wow. And so somebody actually made money off that, hey?
Yeah. They sold for $3.95.
Yeah, I can do the math on that.
And they made a profit of $3. There was only a dollar in packaging.
Yowzer! We should bring that back.
So he became a millionaire.
Sam Codex thinks the haircut's from Chia Pet.
It is not. Close.
I'm surprised that there's Chia 10 Pet. People in here, not anybody knows what the haircut's from. Screw you all.
I guess you thought that was more popular.
Suddenly concerned about the audience at the dance on Saturday. Today.
Okay. Today. Right now. Number two, the $1 million homepage. You ever heard of this?
Oh, I think I have heard of this. Yeah. Was that the pixel? He sold the,
that's right.
Sold like blocks of pixels to advertisers. That was genius.
Each pixel for a dollar. He launched it on August 26, 2005. And in 2016, he finished selling every pixel.
In 2016?
Yes.
It took him 10
years, but he totaled an earning of $1,037,100.
How did he end up over a million?
I don't know.
There's a million pixels, dollar a pixel.
Yeah. How does that work? Maybe he had extra
somebody
pixels.
Overpaid. I didn't realize that took him that long. I thought that sold out like fairly quick. Like I remember this. I remember
2005.
Like going to that website and seeing the open space and being like, oh, I should buy some pixels. Like,
Yeah. It's crazy looking.
That's what it ended up looking like, hey? So, look at all, like, it's gross ads.
It's like, it's like going to Vegas.
Rent clicks, microbet.com, web hosting, it kind of is, yeah.
That's what the Vegas Strip looks like to me.
Find out who's searching for you on Reunion. Good. Oh, look, win an Xbox 360.
Oh, wow. I wonder if you could still win that. Okay. Number three business idea was the automatic bread slicing machine. That sounded like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
In 1928, though, was not an instant hit. Corporate customers were unsure whether there would be a demand for pre-sliced loaves at all.
Hey.
And now, that's how they all are. Wonder Bread was the first company to buy it off of them.
Really?
Yep.
And look where they are now.
Wonder Bread.
Good for them.
Okay, number four, Big Mouth Billy Bass, early 2000s.
Wow.
Yep. It's a good example of what Seth Godin calls a purple cow. The idea is so remarkable that it easily stands out from the masses.
Like, where's that product? It's kind of fun. Like,
I mean, lots of people have them.
I get it. I was going to say, where's that idea come from? But it's not that crazy. People mounted fish on their walls. It's like, wouldn't it be funny if that one talked? Like, yeah. He smoked a joint and was like, it'd be cool if that talked.
Yeah, and it made about $100 million. So
that's good coin right there.
Number five, the Sharknado film franchise.
Oh, my God.
On paper.
Have you ever seen one of these movies?
Yeah, I watched one last night.
Last night?
Yeah, last night. Because I was on Amazon looking for some dumb movie
to
watch.
How you came across his list?
No,
Completely random that
completely
was on.
Completely random then that
oh,
was on there.
Oh, it's fate.
Yeah, it is fate.
And so, sorry, your movie, your Siskel and Ebert
one,
review.
Which one did I watch last night? It wasn't an actual Sharknado. It was a Sharknado spinoff where climate change had turned the world into like water world, essentially.
Oh, we're living it right now.
We're living it. And there was one alpha shark and a pack of sharks destroying human colonies. I got about 10 minutes in before I turned it off.
So Sharknado meets Waterworld meets whatever.
It was horrible.
Sounds great.
But that franchise has amassed over $4 billion.
Holy smokes.
Including video games, books, documentaries, and comic books.
Have you ever had an idea that you either knew was dumb, but you think it...
Yeah, like, Sharknado.
But I mean like your own idea.
No.
Or have you ever had something be something that you did that people are like, oh my God. And you're like, oh, I thought that was pretty dumb, but okay.
No. Have you?
That's pretty on the spot question.
I've never really thought about how would you know your bad idea would do well?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was a horrible question to ask. Pretty tough one to answer.
Did you open up the Ultimate Deck Shop based on that?
Yeah. I was like, okay.
This is a terrible idea.
Stupid idea, but we'll see what happens. Well, this podcast is kind of one. It I thought it was a good idea. Wade thought it was a dumb idea.
Because, like, who wants to talk about Dex for 151 episodes?
Yeah.
Guess what?
But look at us now. We should be on that list of, we've made, like, at least a few hundred bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the Overijssel lumber, is the desktop made from tundra? Yes. Keen eye. It is made from tundra. And the trim, the around here is the clubhouse ironwood fascia board on the perimeter.
Makes this desk really heavy.
No, these are actually known for their lightweightness.
Yeah.
You know, what's underneath, the table itself was really heavy though. Like the actual original tabletop is a beast. But yes, good eye on the tundra. Eric Taru says they must be doing some interesting medication to come up with the Sharknado idea.
I think they just think of the dumbest things that you could think of.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the dumb ideas that didn't make it.
Right, exactly.
Into a script, right? Like, that one's got to be pretty good. Are you ready to get after this episode or what?
Let's do it.
Before we start, I'll give my review of the President's Choice Sparkling Water Vanilla Cherry Soda flavor.
Not sponsored by them at
all. Solid 8 out of 10.
A solid 8 out of 10?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Are you going
to
be...
Sorry, everything is relative compared to other sparkling waters, which I am not a huge fan of to begin with.
Your fridge would say otherwise right now.
Yeah, because I'm trying... This is the healthy me. This is my idea of like trying to curb a bit of a pop addiction and like do something that's a little bit less bad for you.
Do you think like the sparkling water, does it like appease your soda needs?
It does from time to time, yeah. It has saved me from drinking a Coke here and there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not all the time. Like, I'll still go home and if given the choice... There's like a Coke Zero sitting there. I'll often drink it. But here at work, for sure. Like, yeah. I haven't had regular pop in my fridge for a bit here now. And so as long as I have these cold in there, it'll do.
So if we put a pop in your fridge, we'll see how long it lasts.
So experiment. I did have one and I cracked it yesterday that was in there for a while. It was one of those Sprite lemonades.
Yeah, you didn't like those though.
I wasn't a huge fan, so it sat there for a while. But if you put my favorite in there, if you put like a...
Coke Zero,
which is my go-to. If you somehow manage to get your hands on a Pib Zero.
Do they
extra,
have Pib Zero?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If that made its way into my fridge, it wouldn't last very long. Those are so good.
This episode, for all you Ultimate Deck Nerds out there.
Brought to you by.
I was going to say that. Brought to you by President's Choice Sparkling Water.
Brought to you by Pfizer. Get your double vax. Oh, great. We just lost at least 7% of our listeners.
Okay. So this episode was actually episode 33. I thought we'd revisit it and see if you learned any lessons.
That's a year ago. That's 2 years ago.
It's 2 years ago. It's from the very beginning.
Dug deep back
of the
then,
podcast.
Eh? Jeez Louise.
The episode title was Six Things You'll Learn Fast When You Start a New Business.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
We were on, that was topical at the time because we were starting, this was still a new business.
You were starting a new business.
It would have been like 3 or 4 years.
Shane was on the podcast by himself and the episode lasted exactly 15 minutes.
What a drag. We're at 15 now almost.
Seconds.
We haven't actually started yet. Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Ready?
What do you got?
Number one.
I don't remember these. These will be fun.
Hire a bookkeeper.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. And you really went in on this.
Did I?
Yeah. You were
that's
like
pretty insistent.
This is what you have to do. If you're starting a new business, hire a bookkeeper to look after the books.
I feel like this is one of those do as I say and not as I do.
Yeah. I was going to say, how did that work out this year?
we didn't have a bookkeeper for the first couple of years. And so this was probably year three. And this was probably when I was coming to the realization that you should do that sooner.
Yep.
And then we had one on, like a contracted one that would come in, subcontractor, that would do our books for a while. And now we just finally this year,
mm-hmm.
full-timer on staff.
Do you think you should have done that earlier?
Having a full-timer versus a subcontractor?
Yeah.
Yes. I believe that most things we do, we should probably do earlier.
Right. Okay.
As far as staffing goes.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of these are staffing related. I just want you to know.
Okay. So I do believe that we tend to react to situations. It's like, oh shit, like we're so behind our books, we can't keep up anymore. Hire a bookkeeper.
Mm.
The right way to probably do that is to be like, foresee that coming a little bit and get that person in before you get super behind and stuff. But I mean, at the same time, when you're a small business and you're, you know, you're watching your cash flow and you're trying to, you know, you're trying not to overspend on things. And obviously, payroll is your largest expense. It's not easy to make that decision sometimes to be like, yeah, we can take on a full-time person in a seasonal business all year round. It's like, it's a tough one to get over sometimes, but then you do it and you're like, oh yeah, we should have done that a while ago.
So from a contractor's perspective, do you think they should hire a bookkeeper?
Full-time, like, well, it depends on who the contractor
is. How do you think they should do it? Like if you're a seasonal contractor, let's say most people are.
Yeah, I would say most contractors should just not hire on your payroll, but just hire a company to do your books. Yes.
Mm. There you go.
Have a person. Doesn't have to be on your payroll, but have a bookkeeper that's doing your stuff. You don't want to be doing that. Like, you're not an accountant. You're not a bookkeeper. You are a deck builder. Do what you know how to do and leave the other stuff for somebody else. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can probably hire a bookkeeper in most places for, like, there's a lot of bookkeepers out there for $20 an hour. Just kind of do it, whatever. Might cost you a little bit more if you go with a firm or something, but to get somebody just to kind of enter your receipts and keep your taxes up to date and everything else, yeah, totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you charge per hour to go do decks? 70, 80, 90, 100 bucks an hour? So every hour you spend bookkeeping instead of charging for your services that you're actually a professional at, you're losing a lot of money.
Right, because it's wasting time
doing books. Yeah. So, yeah. And then you can have confidence it's being done correctly. And you have somebody that's there to like hold your feet to the fire and make sure things are getting done, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to push stuff aside that you don't enjoy doing. And enjoy doing books and entering receipts and taxes and all that crap. None of you enjoy doing it. So it's one of those things you just kind of like leave to the end of the year and all of a sudden you have a shoebox full of receipts.
Do bookkeepers even enjoy doing bookkeeping?
I don't think so. No.
Is that one of those like jobs that everybody hates, even bookkeepers?
Yeah. Do you have any friends that are bookkeepers?
Actually I have a few friends that are accountants and it's funny because their whole family are accountants too.
Jeez, life choice.
I know. And they all hate it.
Like, I don't understand that. I know I hated it in university. When it was like when you're taking your business admin degree or whatever, it's like you're kind of like your four pillars of whatever it was, like you could be marketing, accounting, finance, whatever. It was like, and HR and shit. It was like accounting was like the one I was like the most disgusted by.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, not that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
anything but.
Yeah. So I always remember thinking like, why would anybody want to be doing this? Like who makes this their major? That's silly.
Lots of people apparently.
But as I get older, I kind of understand it a bit more. I could see the value in it, but it's not my thing. So therefore I prefer if somebody else does it.
Pay someone else to do it.
Yep.
Hire a bookkeeper.
Yep.
Number two, know your numbers.
Helps when you have a bookkeeper to know your numbers.
Helps when you have a bookkeeper to know your numbers.
So what was the context of this one?
It was, you need to know if you're making money.
Yeah. I don't know that we've gotten any better on this one.
I was going to say, we just had a few reporting issues this morning, actually.
With what?
Like we were talking about like the reporting and the numbers this morning.
So, yeah, I still believe this one's very, this is super one of my, topical. This is one of my frustrations because we're behind on stuff and the bookkeeper that we have now, she's been with us for months now, but there's a lot of catch up to do on organization and just like she does things differently than the old one did and whatever else. Takes some time to catch up, but I certainly would like to know my numbers more in real time than what we currently do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some metrics that I do look at very real time, like almost daily, but there's other things that I guess I would like to have more confirmation of those numbers because what the reports I look at may not be, you know, perfect.
Entirely not accurate. Yeah.
So I would like to have a more, you know, sit down with the accountant and make sure we know what the numbers are accurate more frequently as opposed to like what we currently do.
Mm-hmm. So. And for small contractors, this is quite important, I think, knowing your numbers.
And especially if you're newer, because I think a lot of contractors go through a stage when they're early on where they're not charging enough for their services because they just don't see the entire picture. Or they start off small and then as they grow, they don't account for the additional expenses that they've taken on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you start off and you're using your own truck because you had it. You're using your own tools because you had them. You're not doing any marketing. You're just on social media. You haven't hired anybody yet. So you're looking at this and be like, oh yeah, I'm out here doing it for $30 an hour.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I go home and I take home all of the money.
Right, exactly.
And so then all of a sudden you buy a truck, or you hire a person, or you need to replace some tools. Mm. Or you decide I better register this business now. Like there's all of a sudden all these things creep up, and if you don't adjust for that and you're still like $30, it's like, okay, $30, great. Taxes, $7 gone.
Yeah.
You got $23 left. Oh, you're so-and-so's, you got some payroll now. You have some WCB to pay. You have some insurance to cover. You have your business license. You have your tools you're going to rebuy. Before you know it, you're actually losing money per hour.
Right. Yeah.
Dangerous place to be.
Dangerous place to be, especially if you don't know your numbers.
It's hard to know those overhead pieces too. So if you're not good with numbers, then go talk to that bookkeeper you have and let them kind of guide you.
Make sure you hire a bookkeeper.
For real. Because that's one of the most common questions in the Facebook groups and everything is, what do you guys charge for this? And the guys that, like, the most common response they get is, it doesn't matter what I charge for that.
Exactly.
Because your business isn't my business, and my market isn't your market. And it's like, it's really quite irrelevant.
Yeah.
Some guys might charge $100 a square foot. Some guys might charge 40. The guy that charges 40 might be making decent money and might be taking home the same amount of pay the guy charging 100 is, but maybe that's a bigger operation. Like, there's just so many factors in it that you can't share numbers and be like, well, I do this, so then I can also do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
There's so many variables at play.
And like, figuring out what you should actually be charging is tough. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be like a pretty good rule about, like, most people will pay, it seems like, 20 to 30% margin on most things. So if you were to like use that as a rule to build your prices, right?
What are you talking about? Like on
just in general,
30% on your materials, like marking up your materials or what?
Yeah. You're like, if you were to look at your costs per job and then mark them up.
That's another thing though. The markup, like what you need on top of your actual cost of goods sold, could be wildly different from one guy to the next.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Like if you're one guy with one truck and whatever, you're happy making $50,000 a year, then you're happy.
Then you're happy.
You've made it.
Yep.
But the next guy might not be happy at 50. He might want to make 150.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got guys that he hires that are actual carpenters, and he's paying them $35 an hour, whereas you pay a friend $15 to come help you. Mm-hmm. This guy uses all Ryobi tools, and this guy uses all Festool tools. Okay, so you have $5,000 of tools in your truck, and this guy's got $20,000 of tools in his truck.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has a trailer. This guy doesn't. This guy advertises on the radio. This guy doesn't. Like, there's so many. The cost of operating a business can vary so wildly from one to the next that it's like,
yeah,
there's no standard. There's no standardized rate or margin. I don't think. Like, and that's why you have to know your numbers.
That's why you have to know your numbers.
Your numbers.
Yes. Don't know my numbers.
It didn't say know the numbers.
No,
it didn't say know the industry.
It actually just
average.
Says no numbers.
No numbers. Just go with no numbers. There's Wade. He's in here now.
Yeah, he's in. And so is Carly.
So is Carly. Who's running the store right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
Number three.
Yes.
Hire slow.
Oh, yeah.
Fire fast. How's that one working?
Well, Bryce,
I think see you later.
Awkward time, but
you're going to get some quotes. Nobody's going to touch my Bryce.
I feel like this has kind of peeled off Gary V a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned that several times
in the
course of that podcast.
2 years ago, my brain has not changed. I think this one's really smart still. And I don't know that we have followed any more than we did back then. But I think the premise here is that, like, when you know there's somebody that doesn't belong, you got to get rid of them, because the longer they stay, the more damage it causes.
More toxic it can be.
And we've also learned very well. I actually, Wade says he fires fast. He actually hires faster, though.
I think Wade hires faster problem. Than he fires.
So he skips the first part where it's like, hire slow, fire fast. He doesn't hire slow, therefore he has to fire fast.
Right.
The point, I guess, is don't hire out of immediate necessity, because there's a fire that needs put out. And it's like, shit, we just need bodies. Throw people at it, because then you're not going to get the right person for the job, and then you end up firing really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like... And we just talked about this a minute ago. Foresee your needs so that you have the ability and the time to go through the appropriate process to find the right people.
Yes.
And if you don't find the right people, well, then like, cut ties. Don't don't hang on to it because you're scared to have the conversation or something.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty simple.
Probably
I didn't really want to get into that one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I went and got into it.
You got into it. But it does lead...
I thought this whole episode was about getting into these things.
It is. Okay. so I'm going to switch these around because I think your original list didn't work very well. But
how dare you?
Number four is you get what you pay for. So you talk about it in terms of products in that episode, but you also talk about it in terms of employees.
You talked about both in that episode?
Yeah. And so I think that it works really well after hire slow, fire fast, if you talk about it in terms of employees.
Mm-hmm.
You get what you pay for.
I see. Are we talking about both then or just employees?
We'll talk about both. Product's pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
We deal with that on a daily basis. For the most
part, it is true when it comes to products. Yep.
Unless it's got a 5-star rating on Amazon. And right. It's a dollar.
Right. Yeah, this is pretty self-explanatory. In this industry, especially, typically products that are better cost more. And when you try to cheap out, it ends up burning at some point. Nothing's more expensive than cheaping out, Bryce.
I wanted to leave a little silence on that so I can cut that for a sound bite.
You want me to do it again? I want to put an echo on it and get ready. Okay, we can dive a little bit further into this. Yeah. I was thinking initially right straight up from a product perspective. My head goes right to composite decking. It's like, you get what you pay for. And it's like, okay, Decorator's Voyage line is really good decking. It costs, you know, 2.5 times more than fiber on Good Life. Do I feel like it's 2.5 times better? No, I do not think it's 2.5 times better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, maybe not proportionate or relational, but
it feels like,
but I do think it's better.
Ceiling, yeah.
Yeah. Like it's absolutely better, a better product, but there's good products at different price points. But if you shop solely on price and be like, okay, yeah, that's all great and dandy with fiber on Good Life at this price. But I found Super Deck. Wait, that's an oil.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you should get away from that.
I shouldn't use that one. If you find
Bryce Deck,
and it's like, it's 99 cents a linear foot and it's composite and wow. Just it's
great
look
stuff.
At it.
You should look at it.
It's like...
I found it.
It's really nice. You're going to get burned. You buy bad products, you're going to get burned. So don't shop solely on price. It's okay to be frugal and not buy the best of everything, but make sure you're still getting a good quality product that's reasonably priced as opposed to just like trying to save it all at all costs.
Right. And as a business owner, that is ever more important to think about, like when you're buying things for your business, whether it comes it's vehicles, tools.
Man, using bad products can literally sink you. If you end up using bad products that fail or that require callbacks constantly or that have warranty claims and a company doesn't stand behind it, that can flat out sink your business.
Yep.
Like you're done. Imagine using a product that you go do whatever, 30 decks this year in this product that's crap. The company goes under and doesn't back their warranties and all those decks fail and you end up with a lawsuit in your hand, somebody suing you because you installed this product that was supposed to have a guarantee and it didn't and whatever. Like you're over. So you need to like make sure that you trust the products you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't, what were we even talking about? Spend, what was it? What was the,
you get what you pay
you
for.
You get what you pay for. So like,
Nothing's more expensive than cheaping out.
Right. And I think that, and this also goes for your tools and stuff too. Like people sometimes like, I shouldn't say people, contractors don't generally do this. Contractors usually know the value of good quality tools. But sometimes guys don't, or sometimes when they're new, they try to cheap out on their tools and it's like, that's just going to slow you down, cause headaches, you're going to be replacing things. And it's like, you could buy the cheap tool for $100 and replace it 5 times in the time that the $500 one would like last and then some.
Well, even as
be more accurate and whatever else.
Yeah. Even as a contractor, specialty tools are made for you, like track saws and other camo, like the gun.
Yeah.
Right. Like spend that money. You'll make it back.
Yeah. If you can increase your efficiency by spending a few dollars, it probably pays itself, pays you after, right? And so then you want to talk about the people side of things,
About the people side of things.
I mean, don't cheap out on people, too. Sometimes it's scary to hire somebody that, you know, might, you know, you're building decks and you want to hire, you'd be great if I could find a guy for $15 an hour. Sure, okay, but that $15 an hour guy is probably just a laborer and he's probably going to take, he's probably going to reduce your efficiency.
Well, he's going to take 3 times as long.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It takes him 3 times longer to do the same thing that a guy making $35-$40 an hour would have done. Yeah, exactly. So where have you really saved the money?
Yeah.
You probably haven't because that kid's also probably going to, you know, end up injuring himself at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost you money and you're going to lose somebody. So hire the guy who has some experience. It might cost a bit more, but it's going to like save you money in the long run. Yep. You're going to be more efficient. You're going to deliver a better quality product. You're not going to have to redo things a bunch. Mm-hmm. Now that said, there's time, like I hired a guy one time that was like paid him the money because he was supposed to be so good and he was awful. Did you hear me eat the F bomb on that?
I did.
he was
off.
So yeah, I learned both ways. I used to, when I first started, I used to kind of hire just buddies to come help out and stuff, and that was fine. But I know there's times too when I felt like, God, I've got too many guys who don't have the experience. Like, sure, I'm paying them what I want to be paying helpers, but they're slowing me down to the point that I'm hardly doing anything.
Right.
Because I'm just helping them, teaching them how to do
constantly
stuff, and then undoing stuff. And then am I better off? No, I should have instead of hiring two or three cheap guys, I should have hired one good guy that him and I could get into a groove and work together and smash stuff out. So,
yes.
Yeah. So yes, hire slow, fire fast.
And
That guy I hired fast, fired fast.
Hired fast, fired fast.
It 2 days. It's like, see you later.
Okay. Number 5. Business is all about relationships.
Yes. Oh, boy.
You like that one?
Why did you have to bring
it up? You said it.
I did say it. Yeah. Is this the last one?
No, there's one more.
It is 6. About relationships, man.
It's all about relationships. Vendors, people, contractors, employees.
Yeah. My head went right to vendor relationships because that's my world.
That's
right
your
now.
World.
And absolutely, like... This is from my own perspective, not the contractor necessarily right now, but if we have a really good relationship and a good rep with the company that we do business with, it's like we want to do more business with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm going to be downstairs like trying to influence people's sales to be like, sell more of this because I really like that guy. Like that doesn't happen, but it just like, it does probably trickle down. When you have a great relationship with the company, it kind of halo effects onto their products a bit and you like their products a bit more when things go smoothly and the people are there to help you and to back you. And so you probably do talk more favorably about this stuff, which probably does translate into more support from your sales staff, which translates into more sales to the customers because they're also passing along these good vibes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you've got vendor reps or vendors that only cause you problems or only do things that make your life more difficult, you just get frustrated and don't want to deal with them anymore.
Yeah. Why would you want that headache?
And so then the opposite happens. Then those bad vibes and bad energy gets passed along. And it's like, oh, yeah, frickin' these guys, like whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah.
Tread lightly, vendors.
Right? And put on notice. If you're questioning which one you are listening to this, you're that one.
Exactly.
But I deal with quite a few. I don't know how many vendors we deal with, but I could, if you ask me to rate like who I enjoy working with the most and who I don't work with the most, it probably does translate a little bit to some of the sales. It can at least explain some of the sales.
RateMyVendorReps.com.
Yeah. Remember Rate My Professor? Rate My Professor?
Rate My Professor.
So good back in the day. So yeah, it's all about relationships on the vendor front for us. As a contractor too, like the relationship between the contractor and your supply store, whether that's a box store or a local lumberyard or whatever it is, like, that's got to be a good relationship too. I think we all know that not everything goes smoothly all the time, but as long as you are working with somebody who's doing their best and looking out for your interests and trying to make your life easier, like, yes, they're like, especially in these last 2 years, it's not going to go smoothly all the time. There's going to be hiccups and crap. But when you know somebody's actually giving it their all to try to help you out, that feels a lot better than somebody that's dismissive of things 100%. And doesn't care, right? And then, of course, as it translates down from the customer to the homeowner too, if you have a good relationship, like, if you start that relationship on a good foundation of trust, then the whole process is going to go a lot easier.
Oh yeah.
If you're the type of guy who shows up and is just like, I hate homeowners. Like, I hate these people. I hate customers. I hate clients.
Right. Who's going to want to work with you?
Yeah. Like, it's not a good start.
I'm not one of those people that believes in like the whole like chakra energy thing, but I do think that like mentally, as a human, you look at other people and you kind of have some idea of how they feel about you at that time.
Yeah.
And so if you're giving off bad vibes because you're, you know, you don't like someone.
Yeah.
They're going to be able, they're going to know.
Yeah. You've also got to, like, as the homeowner, you have to put your past wounds, put your past relationships behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because lots of people out there have been burned or had a bad experience with the contractor. And I just saw this on Facebook the other day. Somebody's like, this is my absolute nightmare. And all it was like trying to choose a good contractor. And this person was like, that's my nightmare. Like, she was so fearful of that process even.
Oh, wow.
But if you carry that, it, like, if you hire somebody good, but you become clingy, to use a relationship analogy, if you become overbearing because of your past fears or your fears you have, like, that's going to, you're going to ruin that relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had, without mentioning names or situations, we've had a recent issue where there was a dispute with a customer of ours that, and a contractor and us involved as well. And wife, very pleasant to deal with. Husband came out and we're here to try and help and find a resolution to this. Don't be an asshole.
Right.
Like, straight up. Because that just ends all willingness for us to want to help you. Like,
yeah,
we're all good people here. The reason we're all here is because we're trying to help and find a resolution and make sure everybody ends up happy with this whole thing. So don't come out here and, like, act like that.
You get what you pay for.
So, being a good person, good relationships makes everybody's life easier. Like, yeah.
Everybody. Number 6. You ready?
I am ready.
Trust your gut.
Hmm.
You really liked this one on the podcast.
Did I?
You talked about how much you need to trust your gut in business.
Yeah, I don't know that I...
Do you believe that anymore?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't... I'm just not sure. I'm trying to think of when my gut would come into play in this environment, in my current role, but as a contractor, absolutely. Mm. And as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a bad vibe from somebody, there's a reason. And just because you can't place it, like, that's what gut is. It's intuition. You don't really know what's giving it to you, but there's something.
Right.
And you may not be able to identify, but something is making you feel off about it. And in my experience as a contractor and as a homeowner dealing with, like, on the other end of the relationship, that's pretty accurate.
Getting those bad vibes.
Your gut. Like,
yeah.
If there's red flags, walk away.
Right.
Because every time you ignore that and go forward, it ends up being an absolute nightmare. So... Mm-hmm. And what's the worst? So you walk away, and so maybe that one would have gone okay.
You're
well,
not,
like, you didn't lose out. You just moved to the next one that felt better.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You're not out. So learn to say no and learn to trust your gut. And when something doesn't feel right, get out of there and move on to the next. Like, well, no harm, no foul. You don't have to win every job.
Yeah. And in your current role, I think trusting your gut is quite important. I would say this year, one of the biggest gut moves that you made, you and Wade made, was bringing in steel framing. And it was, like, pretty nerve-wracking, and it feels like now it's starting to pay off.
It will a bit. I mean, we knew that was
it's a gut.
It was a risk, and we knew what the risk was when we brought it on. It's like, we knew you can bring in all this material, all this inventory, and it's like, we're going to have some of this at the end of the year. I'm not expecting to bring this in, and, like, it's not going to fly off the shelf. It's a niche product. I get it. It's expensive, whatever. But let's hope that we sell a few jobs enough to kind of, like, cover a good chunk of the truck, and then we'll carry over some costs over the winter. So it's like, we expected that was going to ding cash flow a little bit, but it was a move that we wanted to make to be first to market. It's a great product. So here we are.
Yeah.
We sold a few, like, it's gone.
Seems like okay. It's picked up recently though. Like, a lot more people are super interested.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Western Lumber says, trust your gut. Sometimes you need to walk away. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And Eric Teru says, last time I didn't trust my gut, it cost me $20,000.
Ugh.
Right? And so what if he trusted his gut? What would have happened?
Did it cost you $20,000?
He wouldn't have got that job.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I got it.
Sounds like he got screwed out of 20 grand. So yeah, it's pretty accurate. Your gut's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, your gut is bang on, I think.
Yeah?
So, yeah. And like I said, that one time that maybe your gut was wrong and it would have been okay. Like, you're not, you lost nothing by walking away. You just went to the next job and had a better experience and continued on. Like, mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
And with all the things before it, like hiring a bookkeeper, knowing your numbers, hiring slow, firing fast, relationships, and you get what you pay for, your gut becomes that much smarter too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, knowing your numbers is going to vastly increase the amount of good decisions you make.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was episode 33.
Oh, we could have added 6 more to that, I think.
Do Do you have any that you think?
Oh boy, the trust you got one's in. Getting some activity in here.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. What did you, what was? Do I have any more that I want? Would have thrown in
that? Yeah. Now we're in. Now you're in year five. Back then, you would have been in year two. Do you think there are decisions that you could have made earlier? Obviously.
Here's a not self-serving one, but in my current role right now, what I see sometimes is newer decking contractors, they feel, I think they're shy. I think they're sometimes uncomfortable, certainly not everybody, but sometimes they're uncomfortable coming into a lumberyard because they're like, oh, you know, I'm just new. I haven't done a whole lot. And they're a little bit like, they almost have this expectation that they're annoying you, or like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
They kind of take this position of like, I'm just a small guy. I don't want to, like, you know what I mean? I'm completely opposite. I'm like, you start up, because I'm very entrepreneurial. I'm like, you start up a new business and it's in decking. Like, bro, I can help you.
Right. Exactly. Like, let's be friends.
Like, get into my store, like come upstairs. Let's chat. Like, let's talk about how we can get you off the ground, like avoid some mistakes and whatever. So like, if you're just starting out, don't tuck your tail between your legs and walk in, like, and don't just go to Home Depot because that's where they're comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you go to Home Depot, there's not a, you know, there's not some contractor sales guy that's been standing there for 15 years and he's got his clientele and he does a lot of business and he doesn't want to be bothered by new guys or whatever. Like, it's not, it's not that at all. So they end up going to like Home Depot because that's where they feel most comfortable because they've been a homeowner in that place before. And I don't know what it is, right? But seek out a good lumberyard that's going to, you know, take you in and help you, and
they want whatever help else. You.
So yeah, like, well, some do, some won't. Some are like old stodgy lumberyards that don't want to deal with somebody's new issues, right? Excuse me, but that's not the attitude we take here. Like, you're absolutely welcome to come in here. Let's do some stuff together. How can we help you? And like, yeah. So, as a new contractor, don't be afraid of the people that you need to form relationships with. Like, go start that one.
Follow that fear
as well. Yeah. Eric Terry, the client didn't pay on the job and almost cost me a vacation. I remember that happening. I know that him and Wade chatted quite a bit around that time to try to
smooth that out.
Process that a little bit. Lumberjacks Danny, I'd rather trust my gut and lose a good job than question it and get a headache client. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's very little risk in losing a job that might have went okay when your gut flared up, but 9 times out of 10 you're on the right side of that if you walk away. Simcoe Dex, everyone starts somewhere. Yep. Western Lumber, I find it tough when startups come in guns blasting and they aren't going to be screwed by us. It takes a lot of work to calm them down and show you'll be helpful to them. Yeah, so that too. Here's another thing I don't like.
Okay.
This just reminded me. And is this for new guys? This might be for new guys. Don't come in over-promising to try to like represent yourself bigger than you are. Don't walk into lumberyard and be like, well, I'm going to be like, I do six feet. Like, don't bullshit either.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, yeah. Honesty.
Have some modesty and some honesty and just say it. Like, I'm just starting out. I'm hoping to do 20, 30 decks this year. Don't come in here and think that you're going to like try to pose to, because you think it's like something you need to do to negotiate your, I don't know why you're doing, like to get a better price or something. Like, no, like earn that.
Earn it.
We're here to work together. Certainly the way I feel about our relationship with our contractors is that we're partners in this.
Right. Yep.
I am your supplier. Yes. And you are the installer. Yes. And the end goal has to be that your customer needs to be happy and you get paid. So I'm here to try to make your experience smooth and like support you and make sure you get everything you need to get that done. I am not here. You don't need to look at me as me trying to screw you and like make as much money off you as possible. That's not the, And again, there's probably places that are like that, but I'm thinking most lumberyards and us especially don't think like that. We're here, like, I've set my prices where I need them to be to pay my bills.
Right.
So let's not fight over nickel and diming stuff. Let's just make sure everybody in the process here has a good experience.
Right. Yeah. The pie's big enough, man.
Let's partners.
Yeah.
So yeah. Coming in guns a blazing with a big E was not the way to start that either.
What is my contractor price? You bought nothing and have no history.
I know. Yeah. So we get those guys too. Cause sometimes they're like, well, I shop somewhere else and I, I spend $200,000 over there, so why aren't I getting the best price here? Because you spent zero here.
You spent
and
zero
I don't know
here.
That you spent $200,000 somewhere else. Like, yeah. Quit swinging it around and, like...
Look at all this money I've spent.
Like, buy something first and then try negotiating. Like,
yeah.
That's also goes for homeowners, too. I remember years back, it was probably our first or second year in business. We learned this one pretty quick with this lady that came in, wanted to buy some stain. That time would have been Mesmer stain. And she came in, like, big negotiation because her and all of her neighbors were going to be doing her fence, and she was going to have to buy, like, 20 or 30 gallons of the stain. So what's the best price we can do, and so on and so forth. And I can't remember if Wade gave her a discount or not. Probably. Like, maybe this is how we learned the lesson. But it was like, okay, yeah, here's whatever, a discount off your first two. Well, of course she never comes back. There was never any intent to come back and buy 20 gallons. It was just like, if I promise that...
Yeah.
There's more payoff in the future. I'm more likely they lame ass negotiation.
Right. Hate exactly.
That. And I don't like that when new contractors come in and say the same thing too. Give me a smoking deal on this one. Cause I got 10 more jobs lined up. Yeah. Okay. You're already that sets the premise with me that all you care about is getting the best damn price possible on every job. And then I'm not even sure that I want you to buy the next 10 for me. If that's the case.
Yeah. If I'm going
partnership.
Have to, yeah. Exactly.
This needs to work for me too.
Yeah. Everybody needs to be happy in these situations for sure.
Yeah. So, and that said, like, I'm going to be more than fair on price too. You don't have to worry about the price. Like, I do my best to be competitive, and if there's something going to whack, all I need to do is find out and I'll fix it. But but don't just like grind and grind and grind.
Yeah.
Go grind somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty, coming into a situation believing that someone's trying to screw you is not good for anybody.
Yeah. So that sums all of that up.
Right.
Don't have the attitude that somebody's trying to screw you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you walk in here, you're not, when contractors think that the lumber yards are just screwing them all the time, no one's going to win from that. Right.
Yeah.
No one's going to get the best price then.
Yeah.
Cause you're at a constant war with each other.
Yeah. And then you just become a headache. And so then when you walk in, nobody really wants to deal with your shit.
Yeah.
So we're trying to give the best experience, but the best experience is going to go to people we have the best relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
You're a constant pain in the ass and nobody like you literally ruin people's day. They're not going to want to go to bat for you.
Right. Exactly.
It's going to become this like this order taking relationship where it's like, yeah, what do you need?
Come in.
It'll be out Thursday. And when you call and need a hand, when you call and you got screwed on a job, I need a break somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, good luck finding help when you've been a dink all year.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Haney Construction, gotta love the group negotiator homeowner. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yep. Well, you know, we have, like, there's some people that'll come in, and it's like they grind and grind and grind and grind and grind you. And try, like, obnoxiously. It's like, dude, I already know I'm the lowest price in town on this. Yeah. I already know that you've got the best deal, and you just won't stop. And it's like, yeah, well, if you don't do this for me, I'm not going to send all my friends. Please don't.
Don't.
Don't even think about sending your friends and family. I don't even want you here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do not send 10 more of you in.
Right, exactly.
Please, like, price just went up, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to send more people like you here?
Fee?
Yeah, 20% on top. No.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know if I should read Wade's comment there.
Whoa.
We'll leave that one alone. Anything else for you, Bryce, that like you're not a contractor?
I am not a contractor.
But
these are all really good things.
Hence why you went and dug them out.
I dug them out. It was a short podcast and we turned it into a long podcast.
Did you find this one just looking for the shortest one?
No, I just thought it was a good one.
Okay.
Sounded interesting.
Okay, well, if that's that, then that's that. Please go vote. Vote SWTS, make a donation, anything you can is fantastic. Vote for Shane and Nikki. Hope's Home will greatly appreciate it.
Hey,
see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Now you know what we're about. Check the site, come and shop, ultimatedeckshop.com. Hit us right away for sponsorships, or tell us if you want to collaborate. Let's go. Check us out on any social networks. Thank you for listening.